May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. One of the things I've been reminded of lately is that I can't afford to entertain any thought about my life that God's not entertaining. There are only two kinds of wisdoms, the scripture says in James, that which just comes from above, and that which is earthly and fleshly and demonic. So, there's not an in-between. Like, oh no, I'm just having these thoughts. It's either coming from above, or it's earthly, and it's fleshly and demonic, and it brings destruction. That's got nothing to do with the message I'm going to do. But I'm just reminded that I can't entertain any thought. I can't ponder anything apart from it in the context of my life in Christ. The question that I found myself asking this morning, not that I didn't know the answer, but I was pondering this, like the Lord put that in me. He said, like, so did Mary get pregnant before she believed or after she believed? Because again, we don't have any record of when it happened, except that when she shows up to Elizabeth's house, she's carrying Jesus. And it says that after they had this conversation with Gabriel, she immediately, urgently went to go be with Elizabeth. Now, one of the reasons she did is because she, when God's doing something, when God's opening you up to something, you need to hang with people who understand it. That God's doing the same thing in them. And so, like, the things about supernatural and angels and all that kind of cool stuff as part of Christian life, you don't need to hang with people who totally don't believe that. You need to hang out with those people who reinforce truth and faith. When the Lord came to her in the person of Gabriel, when he announced, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." And then he says in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So the Lord comes and says to her that she's a favored one and that the Lord is with her. And not to be afraid, for she's found favor with God. So God has announced favor over her life. He's announced this blessing over her life. Again, the question is, did the blessing happen before she believed or after she believed? When she comes to see Elizabeth, that last verse that Bracken read, she said, speaking of Mary, she said, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." If you remember the conversation again, when after the Gabriel spills the whole beans, that he explained the favor, you are going to give birth to the long-awaited Messiah. Now, besides that being incredibly ridiculous because she was a virgin, I can only imagine what she, who was of the house of David, thought that after all those centuries, when some young girl was going to become pregnant or going to give birth to the Messiah, I don't think anybody knew how that was going to happen much. Talks about the Old Testament virgin, but I'm not sure who all understood that. But for her to discover that it's her after all this time, and a gazillion girls have been born to that tribe, and now an angel shows up and says, "This, you're the one." And then the question that she had was, "How? Since I've never been with a man." And so the angel says, "Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And therefore, that which comes forth from you is going to be labeled from God." Because whenever God does something, it has his label on it. Whenever we do things for God, it has our label on it. It's much better for it to be God, right? And then he encourages her by saying, matter of fact, Elizabeth, your cousin, who's been barren all of her life, is now pregnant. in her old age, and she's in her sixth month. And the Lord's awesome how he'll, like, patient. Says, look, Mary, let me give you an example of a miracle. And Mary's response was, and then the angel says this, and not one word is impossible with God. So the bottom line is how the God of the impossible, this is not a big deal to him. He's the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible to God. Therefore, impossible things seem so out there. They're like it's such a reach for us. Like we're praying, hoping that we can somehow, I hear this all the time, pull down heaven. Let me just say this to you. You've been pulled up into heaven already. So don't waste your time trying to pull down something you've been pulled up into, because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. We pray more songs and stuff about pulling down heaven. I don't think it makes the Lord mad, but I think he would like for us to believe what he's already done. But this is why we can't think about us, the Lord, about how can we do to make this happen, or our part. Our part's really simple, but because it's about the God of the impossible. I mean, that's just normal to him. What we call impossible is just God being God. So don't ever think about a thing and measure it in terms of, can you believe because it seems so difficult? The issue is, we just simply know that God's the God of the impossible. And then Mary said, behold, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. Lord, you said it, you do it, and the angel left. So at some point, after the angel left, and before she gets to Elizabeth's house, she's pregnant with the Lord Jesus. So again, the question is, was she blessed, that blessing of carrying the Messiah? Did that happen before she believed or after she believed? Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believed, that what had been spoken over her would come to pass. Every one of us, God's pronounced favor over us. He pronounced favor over her. Hail favored one, the Lord is with you. That was already true. He says, don't be afraid, you found favor with the Lord. So there was favor pronounced over her. But that favor wasn't manifested in her life until she believed. By grace, you're saved through the conduit of what? Faith. God does the saving, but the conduit that allows God to be God is faith. We use this example a lot. Your faith doesn't make that pew work. Like, your faith isn't holding you up. The pew is. And when you sit down, you're simply exercising faith, allowing the pew to do what the pews are meant to do. Faith doesn't get God to do something. It simply allows God to do what he's already promised to do. We've said the gospel is your inclusion into the life that Jesus lives. That'll blow you away just to hear that. Into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he lives under. We spend so much time begging God and posturing ourselves to have more favor, when the truth is God's already pronounced the very favor that's on Jesus' life over your life. And we quote these verses all the time. For you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1 are yes in Christ. He's already said yes. So what's the deal? How come some people seem to walk in more favor? They don't have more favor than any other Christian. But do we walk in the favor is about, do we believe? Do we believe that the God of the impossible is really the issue here? not what I can do other than believe that he's big enough. Because this is all easy peasy, lemon squeezy stuff for God. That's a good theological term. So the question, of course, is Mary got pregnant after she believed. Even though the favor was on her, what if she hadn't believed? It wasn't like the favor wasn't there, but it would be that the favor wouldn't get manifested. I'm so glad that God makes it simple. You say, yeah, but you know, Bishop, it's hard sometimes to believe. Not if you'll keep your eyes on the God of the impossible. Get your eyes off of the situation that seems impossible and keep your eyes on the God of the impossible. Then it's easy to believe. The faith of a little child, if a little child, and the dad takes a little child into the fair for the first time, State Fair of Texas, at night. There's all these sounds and weird-looking people and all kinds of stuff going on. And the dad grabs the little boy's hand. All that matters, that little boy, is my dad's got this. And the big thing isn't all the stuff going around them. Now they can enjoy that, be fascinated with it. But their dad's got it. It's all about him, not about that. That's where childlike faith happens. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.